Greg Gabriel, 30 years in NFL scouting, 9 years as the scouting director for the Chicago Bears. Now he's all over the place, profootballweekly.com, 670 The Score in Chicago. Great job breaking down the NFL and NFL draft. Greg, how you doing, man? Great to chat with you.
I'm doing real good. How about you today?
I'm doing excellent. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope that you took care of everyone you were supposed to take care of.
I still got to do that.
Oh, come on. All right. Well, you still got time, so.
That's a nighttime thing, not a morning thing.
That's right. All right, there you go.
Okay. Greg's right there.
As long as you make it by midnight, you're good to go. So
that's right.
Now you break down the draft and all. Let me ask this just from a front office personnel standpoint. Obviously, we're going to talk to you about Kyler Murray, but I'm just wondering, at this stage of the game, you're gearing up, you're a week and a half, 2 weeks out of the NFL Combine. What all information have teams gathered and all the information that is yet to be gathered? Kind of walk me through where teams are in the process right now.
Well, depending on the system they use, there's a little bit of difference. But in most cases, so just to say, talking most of the league, you're in the process now of putting together very preliminary boards. You know, if you have meetings, probably back in December, and again, right around now, going over reports, you're eliminating people. You know, you're starting off with well over 1,000 players that you're scouting, and you're going to get that down, work that down to a workable number, and go into the combine with that number. Then you're also going to assign to the coaches the guys they got to look at. They started to get a look at players at the Senior Bowl. They'll start looking at tape of guys now. Go through the interview process with players at the combine, and then of course next month you get into all different pro days and private workouts. So once that is all done and you accumulate all the information, and you're probably checking and rechecking on background information, and then of course the medical is very important with a lot of players, then you begin the process of putting together a final board. I mean, all this stuff where I read or DraftKings are saying, so such and such team is going to take this guy, at this point of the game, not even close to being true. That's just throwing darts at a wall. It's a long process, and it's a thorough process, and it takes time to go through it, and if you're quick about it, that's when you make mistakes.
Man, that is so true. If you ever look back at some of the mock drafts during the college football season or right around the end of the bowls, and then the real draft, you'll know that what Greg's saying is absolutely accurate. Kyler Murray, the combine, his combine fascinates me because his tape in college football is incredible. What advice would you give him to do or not to do at the combine?
Well, I mean, the NFL wouldn't like me saying this, but if I was him, I wouldn't throw. I do all the workout stuff as far as the 40, the agility drills, bench if he wants to bench, long jump, vertical jump, those types of things. I'm not a real fan of quarterbacks throwing at the combine. I think more than any other position, it works against the quarterback than helps him. You know, you're a defensive lineman, and when you were at the combine, doing a lot of that stuff could help you in the eyes of coaches and scouts. But with a quarterback, you know, he never gets into a rhythm. He doesn't have a clue who he's throwing to. He's never thrown to these guys before. And in most cases, you know, he throws two passes, goes to the back of the line, waits till his turn again, and there might be, you know, 10, 12 quarterbacks in his group until it's his turn to throw again. And, you know, it just makes it hard to show off his strengths. I think when you get into pro day situations, especially with the high-rated quarterbacks, where they have an orchestrated workout that's written up by their quarterback coach or quarterback guru, that can really accentuate the strengths of the player as far as showing off things he can do to the scouts and the coaches in attendance. But the one that I think that coaches and general managers really look forward to or need is a private workout with quarterbacks, because in a pro day workout, that's a scripted type situation, and he's rehearsed it over and over again leading up to that particular day. When coaches go in for a private workout, the player has no idea what's going to happen. and part of it's classroom work, part of it's field work, and it's all going to be new to him, and he's got to, you know, react to different things, and it's going to be strange to him. And part of that is good for the evaluation process, not necessarily good for the player, but you want to put him in that uncomfortable situation.
Talking with Greg Gabriel, 30 years in NFL scouting, 9 years as scouting director for the Chicago Bears. You can read his work now as he preps for the draft. ProFootballWeekly.com has an excellent job on 670 The Score in Chicago. I mean, Kyler Murray is such a unique prospect, Greg, and I don't think 5-10 years ago we'd even be having this conversation about him playing quarterback in the National Football League. But as you well know, the game is changing, and it's changing into a game that it sure seems like he's going to be able to have an opportunity. As you watch the tape of Kyler Murray and knowing all the things that you know, how do you look at him? What kind of grade do you give him, and what do you think his realistic prospects are at the next level?
Well, I'll go to the last question first. Do I think he's going in the first round? Yes. Do I think he's going first overall to Arizona? No. Now, could somebody trade up to that spot and take him? You could put that as a possibility. I just think Arizona is out of the question, and the reason being, and regardless of what Cliff Kingsbury said in the fall, that's a college coach saying that, leading into a game before Oklahoma and putting praise on the player, and I think it's when it gets to the NFL, it's really totally meaningless when you're going through this draft process right now. But they drafted a quarterback last year in the first round. They traded up, gave up two draft picks and swapped of the first round to move up to take Josh Rosen. And if you look at what the Bears did last year, what the Rams did the year before, you know, they had problems with the rookie quarterback. His first year, they brought in a quarterback expert, so to speak, the Rams with McVay, the Bears with Nagy, to fix the quarterback problem and make that guy a better player. And we saw right off the bat with Goff a year ago and with Mitch Trubisky this year, their play improved tremendously over the course of the year, and the teams did too. Both teams went from losing records at the bottom of the barrel as far as draft order to being the top and being playoff teams and winning divisions. So I think Arizona did the exact same thing with the hire of Cliff Kingsbury, and then you look at Steve Keim, the general manager. You know, he's got his stamp on Josh Rosen when he drafted him last year, when he made that deal. I just don't think there's any way possible that he goes and gets another quarterback the following year. Number one, there's a cap hit. Number two, he's saying he failed. And that's pretty hard to do in the personnel business, especially when they had a poor team and they thought that he was the guy to be the leader in the future. So I think Arizona's out of the question regardless of what Kingsbury said. But, you know, to me, Murray is more of a wild card type guy, and the only reason being is the height. There's the last player that's had any success, and his success was very moderate, was Doug Flutie, who was that size. You can't use Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is at least an inch taller and probably 30 pounds heavier. So it's a totally different body frame. And then you look at the other short quarterbacks. Drew Brees was 6 foot a quarter inch. Mayfield was 6 foot a half inch. And then Manziel did not have success, but most of that was because of off-field. He was 5'11 and three quarters. So this is new ground with a guy this short, but when you're playing in spread offenses like they are now in the NFL, they're more sophisticated than a college spread, but it's still the same type of concepts. I think it makes it a little easier, but they still got to find the throwing lanes, and for a short guy, that's difficult. But as you and I talked about the other day, Dusty, you know, he's got that baseball background, and he can make those off-balance throws that a lot of, say, normal people can't do. So where he goes, I don't know. Will he go in the first round? I think that's a sure shot.
Greg, what do you think about John Gruden and the Raiders? What will they do with their pick? They have several picks in the first round, which also make them a candidate to trade for a guy like maybe Antonio Brown. And then also the Giants. Will they finally address their quarterback situation?
I think the Giants have to address the quarterback situation. Now, you know, I worked for the Giants for 17 years, and they used they're pretty much use the same grading system that they used when I was there, and that was when George Young was the general manager. I don't think Murray fits into their grading system because they have a size speed chart, and on the size chart, he's going to be a zero. And even if he runs a 4.35, okay, that would give him 9 speed, and then when you average him out, he still comes out the average of less than 5, and with that kind of average, I'd have to talk for hours trying to explain the system. It just doesn't work in the system. You can't give him a grade high enough to draft with a top 5, top 6 pick. I think they got the 6 pick. But Gruden, that's a possibility, and I hear from people that know him that he's very intrigued with Murray. Whether that's, you know, truth or fantasy, that remains to be seen.
Greg, we're going to have you back on close to the draft because we got a lot of guys in state. But I do want to ask you one thing as we get ready to head for the combine, and I want to tap into all the times you've been there and the different players you've seen. Give me the most impressive or freakiest, in a good way, player that you saw in the combine of all your years of going. Give me someone that you just saw from a workout, from how they looked, and you're like, oh my goodness, this guy's off the charts. Anybody come to mind?
You know, not really. You should have asked me that before so I could think about it, to be honest.
Dusty?
But I'll tell you the guy that the workout, and it wasn't at the combine, it was a pro day. It didn't work out at the combine. It was Megatron. You know,
Dusty was fishing for a compliment from
I was hoping
himself.
That I was hoping that yeah, was me
we
back
just
in
go
in
with, right with Dusty.
Oh, well, he wanted me to say Dusty Dvorak, right?
That was by far
the best workout I ever saw for a defensive line.
Clip it, run it as a promo. Thank you, Greg. That's all I needed.
But Megatron's workout was just unbelievable down at Georgia Tech. I mean, everything was off the charts.
He was a special player, Greg. Great information. We really appreciate the time. As we get closer to the draft, a lot of guys here in state that I know people around here are really anxious to see what experts' thoughts are. So we'll have to get you back on when you get a chance.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks, Greg.